Let's take our Bibles and open up to the first chapter of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Of course, it's talking about Christ when it begins verse number 11 by saying, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, now as we examine it tonight, we ask that you would bless us and give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. They say that there are three great questions that man has always asked. Where did we come from? What are we doing here? And where are we going? And these verses here address that second question of why are we here? Did you ever wonder why God created you and what your purpose in life is? Well, this passage of Scripture, as I said, deals with that. Now we're going to look at it in three different points in these two verses. First, we'll see God's provision, and that is the inheritance. Then we'll see God's providence, and that's when it tells us at the end of verse number 11 that he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. And then we'll see in verse number 12 God's purpose. And so let's begin with God's provision. Let's talk a little bit about that inheritance, because what God is doing is he's motivating us to fulfill the purpose he has created us for. He doesn't ever just ask us to do something and not give us any reason behind the doing of it. And so what he wants to do is give us the motivation. He wants to help us desire to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And so he gives us this information about our inheritance. The first thing we find out about the inheritance is its prerequisite. Those first two words of verse number 11, it says, "In whom?" And so he tells us this inheritance is not available for everyone. Now, when I was growing up, until I was in the sixth grade, my parents dropped me and my brothers and sisters off at Mainline Denominational Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that church teaches that everybody is going to heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. Everybody was okay with God because God loves everybody. I think today they probably reject the whole concept of a heaven and hell, and it's all just about this life today anymore. But nevertheless, they ignore the plain teaching of Scriptures that tells us that there's a prerequisite to participating in the inheritance. In whom? Those that are in Christ. The inheritance cannot be acquired in any other way. Then we see the possession of that inheritance. Notice the tenses of the verbs here, or the verb, in whom we, what? Have obtained. Past, present, or future? Past. Isn't that cool? Because what God is telling us is we have an inheritance, and the fact is we have an inheritance. We don't have to wait to get it. It's ours right now. Now, we don't enjoy every bit of it or all the parts of this inheritance, but he says it's as good as yours. We don't have to wring our hands at the end of the day and wonder, is it going to be ours? Should we pass away in the night while we're sleeping? God everywhere assures us that once we have it, once we're in Christ, we have eternal life, which obviously is a part of the inheritance that God has promised to us. And so he's making it very clear that we have obtained. Now, what did we have to do to obtain it? Obviously, it's not by our good works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And again, in Ephesians chapter 2, by faith are you, or by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Then the next verse tells us, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God makes it abundantly clear that even though we've obtained it, it's not by any merit of our own. It's not by any good works that we've done, not by any religious works that we have achieved in our lives, but this prerequisite is done through faith in Christ that then gives us this possession. The moment we trust Christ, we become a participant in the inheritance. Now let's look at, I just simply called it the promise, and that's the inheritance, because God has promised this inheritance to all who are in Christ. Obviously, it refers to a heavenly home. And think about that heavenly home for a little while and how wonderful that's going to be, a mansion with your name on it. Isn't that going to be cool? Amy and I don't even remember where we were. Oh, it was on the south side of Galleon, kind of up 309. I think it's just south of Galleon. There's a house that's just massive. And, I think that's just going to maybe be a little servant's quarters in heaven if they have such things. I think the mansion in heaven is going to be a lot larger than that and certainly a lot grander. And God has one for each one of us. And so, praise the Lord, we have a heavenly home where the streets are made out of gold. We value gold so highly today in our culture and in our world. And we think, man, this is just the greatest thing in the world. We'd all love to have a lot of gold. Well, God has a lot of gold. In fact, it's all His anyway. And He said, you know what that stuff is good for? Good for making roads. And so that's our heavenly home. And that tree that bears 12 manner of fruit, the tree of life, is part of our inheritance. Adam and Eve were told told not to eat of that tree. They were forbidden. But when we get to heaven, we'll have every right to it because it's part of our inheritance. What a wonderful heavenly home God has created for us. Included in that, although I've listed this as a second part of our inheritance, is that we have access to the very throne of heaven. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we're encouraged, in fact, we're commanded to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, we don't have to wait to get to heaven before we bow at our Master's feet in the very throne room of the universe. We have that privilege right now. We've obtained already, past tense, the moment we got saved, this inheritance became ours, and a part of this inheritance is access to the throne of heaven. At the throne of heaven, we can come and present our lost loved ones before the Savior and know that He's going to do all in His power because we brought them up before Him, and we know it's according to His perfect will because He's not willing that any should perish. And so we come into the very throne room of grace, and we can place those loved ones of ours before that throne and say, Lord, save them, and know He's going to do everything in His power to see that they get saved. We can come to that very throne of grace when we have sinned and obtain the forgiveness of the sin that we so desperately need because He promised us that He's just and faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll confess it. We can come to that throne of grace when we're facing difficult circumstances in our life and we know that we have one who has encouraged us to cast all our care on Him, for He careth for us. What a wonderful part of our inheritance is access to the throne of heaven. You know, those that aren't in Christ have no access. They have no right to come into the throne room, and they cannot come into the throne room of the universe. But as part of our inheritance, we have obtained that. Another part of our inheritance is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence, the Holy Spirit of God walking with us wherever we may go and whatever we may do, He's there with us. The Bible tells us, and we're going to look at that in a couple of weeks, how the moment we get saved, the moment we enter into Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and seals us unto the day of redemption. And again, God assuring us that once we have it, we can never lose it. But the Holy Spirit comes in and seals and marks us as God's own. So that when the death angel comes, we know we're on our way to heaven because we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the mark of authenticity, that seal is. And that then tells us, and I probably shouldn't belabor this because it's going to sound awful familiar in 2 weeks when I say the same things. But the world knows we've got the real thing. They see other Christians out there, or at least they call themselves Christians, and they're not the real thing. It's that sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, the Holy Spirit of God indwelling also guides us in our daily life. He guides us in the area of sin versus righteousness. He encourages us to do the right thing, and when we make the wrong choices, He convicts us. He guides us into all truth with the Word of God, and we can understand and glean things from God's Word because the Holy Spirit assists us. And we know that these things are spiritually discerned, and without the Holy Spirit, we can't get spiritual truth. We can't get application. We can't get help. We can't get guidance from the Word of God. He's a part of our inheritance. Now, I believe that the very forgiveness of sin and the removal of the guilt of sin committed in the past is a part of our inheritance. You know, there's a lot of things I did that I'm ashamed to admit that I did. And I'm not going to sit here and admit all the things I did because, frankly, it embarrasses me. But, you know, I don't carry any guilt about it. A lot of things, if I look back, I say, man, I wish I'd never done that. But I did do that. But praise God, the blood of Christ cleanses me and brings that forgiveness, but it also removes the guilt for the things I've done. It also brings peace with God. We were under condemnation, and we were the recipients of God's wrath outside of Christ, but once we're inside of Christ, once we're in Christ, all of a sudden the wrath of God is no longer on us, but now we have that perfect peace that only God will give. That peace that passes all understanding becomes ours. What a wonderful promise God has given us of His inheritance. And we've already obtained it. It's our possession as long as we meet the prerequisite. These things should motivate us to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Not the purpose that we've decided we want for our lives, but the purpose that God has decided. And with that, let's move on to the second point of God's providence. The second half of verse number 11, when it tells us, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The first thing we find is preparation. Now, in this part of the verse, what He's doing is, He's showing us that He's empowered us to fulfill our purpose. It's kind of an awesome thought to think that God has a purpose for our lives, and sometimes we feel so inadequate, and to be honest, we're all inadequate to fulfill that purpose in our own strength and our own power, but God here is going to promise us that He has empowered us or provided that empowerment so that we can fulfill the purpose for our lives that He has for our lives. The first thing we see is preparation on God's part. This is found in that word predestinated. Now, we ran into that word previously back in verse number 5 when He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And we saw that God's plan before the universe was even created, before God spoke on that first day and created light, God already had everything planned out. And part of the plan is that those who would come to Christ would then be adopted into His family. But He's prepared even beyond that, as He adopts you into His family, the place that you will fill. You know, usually every family has the chores. Each individual part of the family has the chore that they normally would do. Now, when I was growing up, my chore was to sweep the steps. Real tough. That was the first chore I ever had in my life. Was sweeping the steps. We had a little whisk broom, and I was probably only about 6 or 7 years old, and that was my job, take that whisk broom and a dustpan. God has something for you to do, and He had that purpose, that plan, that task for you, that chore that He had for you to do. He had it all planned out before the world came into existence. And what He did is He planned for you to be a part of this church family, and then He gave you spiritual gifts so that we as a church can function as a fully operating body to reach our community for Christ and to be a lighthouse in our society. And so He prepared, He predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. Now here we see the plan. He prepared and He planned according to the purpose. But we also see the power of God's providence. The power is found in the words that He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, there isn't a single thing that God has determined to do that God was unable to do. There isn't a single thing that God hasn't been able to do that he purposed to do. Everything that God decides to do, he does. And when he has a plan for your life, you're part of that plan of things that God determines to do. And he has placed you here in Calvary Baptist Church to do certain things. And he empowers you to do it. He worketh all things according to the counsel, all things after the counsel of his own will. He wants to use you, and he empowers you with the Holy Spirit of God, and he's already determined what it is you're to do, and now all you have to do is surrender and yield to him and say, God, I'll do it, even though I feel inadequate, even though it doesn't seem like I can do it, even though I may not be 100% sure this is what you have for me, I just simply yield myself to do it. In God's providence, he empowers us to fulfill our purpose. Now let's move on to our third point, verse number 12, and that's simply God's purpose. What is his purpose? And in this verse is simply the explanation of our purpose here in this world. And we've all read it already, and we know what it is, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now again, there's three things that we want to look at here. The first is our potential. Notice how he words this at the beginning of verse number 12, that we should be. That implies that we can choose not to be to the praise of his glory. That implies our free will, that we should be. There's something we all should be for Christ. And it goes beyond just simply fulfilling a task or responsibility in the local church. It just simply pervades through all Christendom that this is what the Bible tells us that we all should be. And I'm not going to elaborate on that. We all know what we should be as Christians. And this is what God's purpose for us is. But we can choose not to be those things. We can all be ornery, and we can all be hard to get along with, and we can all choose to do things Christians ought not ever to do. God allows us that free will, and it doesn't affect our Christianity. But the fact of the matter is, there is something we should be. We all should conform our lives to this good book. And we all should surrender and yield to the fruit of the Holy Spirit and let him have control so that that fruit then shows itself in our lives. And then we do become that light that's set on a hill, that city set on a hill that enlightens the whole area, or that candle or lamp or light placed in the tent so all can see. See, that's what we should be. That potential is there. We can accomplish it. And then at the end of the verse, he talks about privilege. You see, God has a purpose. That purpose is to be to the praise of his glory, but it's for those who first trusted in Christ. It's a privilege to do what God has for us to do. Too often we look at it as a duty, or we look at it as a responsibility or an obligation. And when we look at it that way, it can become tedious and it become hard to accomplish, or even difficult to find out what it is, because it's nothing more than a job and a duty for us to do. But what God is telling us here is it's a privilege to be able to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be able to do any task for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what David said? He said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. He was content with that. What would be considered a lowly, menial job. He said, I'm content with that because I am serving my Savior. And he saw it all as a privilege to be able to do whatever it was God would have him to do. And so we need to look at our Christian life as a privilege, and the things he asks us to do as a privilege. And then we see the promotion. The promotion is not of us, but the promotion is all of God. It's that we should be to the praise of his glory, of His glory. Notice that, not our own glory, that everything we do, the glory should reflect on God, at what God can do when it gets a hold of a life. D.L. Moody was motivated in his life by a statement that he heard someone else say, that the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to God. That motivated D.L. Moody. And so D.L. Moody in his life sought to promote the glory of God. He wasn't out to build a kingdom for himself, and God greatly used that man. And God will greatly use people who have no care whether or not they ever get noticed or whether they ever make a name for themselves. And I'm afraid we've got a lot of preachers out there today that are just busy about making a name for themselves, and a lot of Christians out there trying to live to make a name for themselves, whether it be in the church itself or in the business world or in the community. And God says that ought not be the purpose of our life. He predestined before the world was created that as Christians, as being in Christ, as having first trusted Christ, our purpose and the point He has for us is to simply show men the Savior. That is all God wants from our lives. Now, whether it's in the business world or in the church house, the purpose is the same. Bring glory, honor, and praise to the Savior. Let the world see a loving God and a holy God. And as long as that's the point of your life, then you're on the right track. And God can and will use you. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being used of You. Father, so often there are so many that see it as a duty and an obligation. Nothing more than a job, but Lord, we know better. We know it's a privilege to have Almighty God, the ruler and creator of our universe, use such lowly creatures as ourselves. Father, this evening, may we just simply yield unto Thee and let You have Your way in our lives. We'll thank You for what You'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen.